Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome to First Nazarene Church. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being a part of our church. Whether you're here every single week, thank you for being here, or if today is your very first time with us, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this church community. If you are new to our church, really what I hope you find is this isn't just a place where you come on Sunday and you check off a box and I don't feel bad now because I went to church. But really what you find is a community of people who love you, who want to be here for you, who want to encourage you and to see you live what God wants for you in your life. I hope that you keep on coming, and what you do when you do, what you encounter is that there is a God who loves you. And through his imperfect church, this imperfect people, together we will commit to know the God who has made us, who's designed us for a purpose, who wants us to follow his will and his way in our life. And there we find our purpose, we find belonging in our community. And so if you're brand new with us, I just want to say thank you for being a part of our church, and we're glad that you're here today. Whether you're new or you've been here today, as you leave, you'll see this little book by the doors on the table, and it says Life Together on the front of it. This is our emphasis as a church for 2024. How do we do life together? Life together with God, together with one another, and with our community. So if you're interested, hey, I want to learn a little bit more, what are we doing as a church this year? I encourage you to pick that up. You can see our goals and our emphasis, our different initiatives for this year. I encourage you to pick that up. Or for those of you that are joining us for the membership class today, thank you for sticking around and having lunch with us, coming forward at the end of our service, and we'll help you to get there today. Well, if you are new to our church, those of you that have been here, you're here every week, you're like, man, you're already up preaching today. Are you going to preach for a long time? Like, where is the music? I want some more music. Can we do that again? We will have more music at the end of the services, because I think it's a beautiful response to celebrate the message today. Today, as we continue this idea of witness, these last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about what does it mean to see Jesus? We've been going back to look, starting on Easter, where we see Jesus has risen from the dead. But then he begins to appear to people. These eyewitnesses who see Jesus, who encounter Jesus, who have interactions with him. And what I think I'm saying is that as a church, we can look at their stories. We can see how Jesus interacts with them. And today, as disciples of Jesus, see him in our own lives and learn to do what he wants us to do in our lives today. You think of the first week on Easter with Doubting Thomas, where he appears to Thomas. And really, I love that message because it's, what do we do with our doubts? If we have doubts with Jesus, can we still choose to believe? Or the next week when we looked at Mary Magdalene, we started to ask the question, where is God when hard things happen? Is it true that he's still revealing himself and we can see him in ways maybe where we haven't seen him before? Or last week, if you were with us, the two walking the road to Emmaus, and God appears among them, and then they go back to the disciples. We're actually going to pick up right where that story left off. So if you do have your Bible, we'll get there in a moment. Luke 24, or you can open the First Naz app and click Bible. It'll take you straight there, starting in verse 35. Luke 24 today, we'll pick up there. For me, what's interesting about this series is that I believe that witness, what we've been talking about so far, is where do you see Jesus? Yet witness has two different connotations. Not only do you see, but then what do you share? We're addressing that today. Because here's the good news of the story of Easter. If God really has come and died for our sins and raised from the dead, how do you think, let me ask you, if you were God, how would you share your good news message with the world? How would you do it? Would that be a loudspeaker of some kind? Would you make a really nice, you know, documentary type film and you post it on YouTube and just make it appear on everyone's smartphones all at the same time? I want to share this good news. I don't know. If you were God, how would you do it? Here's what's interesting. God chooses to partner with us. as his creation to then share his good news with others. And here's why I think this is beautiful. I think there's a credibility that comes with God choosing to use us. Not just God saying, here I am, believe in me, but for the world to look at us and see a difference and a change within us. We say, I believe in God and he has changed my life, that they can see that that is true within us. Today, what I want to tell you is I believe that the good news is shared throughout the world by witnesses of Jesus through everyday conversations. The good news, this gospel that we believe, which simply you look at the story of Easter, that God looks at the world and we have distanced ourselves from God. We haven't lived in the ways that God has wanted us to because we've missed the mark, or what we call sin. Death and chaos and destruction have entered into the world. You don't have to look far to see that this is a broken world full of hurting and pain and war and famine and even death. This is the world that we live in. For the wages of our sin is death, Scripture reads. But then God does not leave us on our own. God becomes man. And in the person of Jesus, who's fully God and fully man, he shows us how life was supposed to be lived. To live in loving God and loving others. But more than that, as Jesus then goes to the cross, he takes the sin of the entire world of all time onto himself so that we can be made right with God. And then his resurrection on Sunday proves himself victorious over sin, over death, and over the grave. So normally in Christianity, we think of, well, heaven is somewhere I go when I die, and then we'll experience that. And the resurrection of Jesus, he's saying, it is actually beginning in the here and now. You can be made right with God, and just as physically you will be resurrected one day, spiritually you can go from death to life now. This is good news. You can be forgiven of your sin and actually changed into who God created you to be. The best news. So then he shares it. But he chooses to share it by witnesses of Jesus. How? I believe through everyday conversations. Because I think this is true. In our life with God, if you're anything like me, often we want these big moments. God, would you just reveal yourself in power? Would you do something that undoubtedly that was you in my life? For most of us over the course of our life, following the examples of scriptures, that may happen, but really only maybe two or three times. The rest of our spiritual growth happens by everyday conversation, moment by moment, that when you look back, you may not even see it. I think it's true. I could see this in my own life. I grew up going to church, but then I ran from Jesus about as hard as I could and as far away. I wanted nothing to do with the church. I didn't want to believe in Jesus, any of that. And I found myself empty on the inside, searching and longing, knowing there has to be something more to life. Then I began to look back, and now I can see it, but then I couldn't. Everyday conversations. Remember a conversation with a girl named Rachel, who said, hey, we were in college, and she knew I was not living for Jesus, is the best way to put that. Hey, Galen, would you come to church with me? Man, I think you'd really enjoy it. Will you come to church with me? And I'm like, yeah, I don't really know. And she's like, well, I'm not going to take no for an answer. 9:30, I'll be at your dorm room. You be in the car. If not, I'm gonna I'll look down on you. And I'm like, okay, fine, Rachel, I'll go to church with you. There was another conversation with a pretty girl named Justine, who's now my wife, and she said, would you go to church with me? And when a pretty girl asks you to do anything, the answer is yes, of course. Yes, I'll go to church with you. And there's a big moment in my story where a pastor says, hey, if you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to give you new life, to begin to change and transform you, would you pray with me today? And so I do, and it's this amazing moment where I felt the guilt and the shame, everything and how I'd been living for myself, dissipate. And God began to enter into my heart and life. It changed everything, a big moment. But then after that, little, small conversations. Bruce, who's 30 years older than me probably, hey, Galen, we were playing volleyball in the backyard. You're actually, like, decently athletic. I'm like, you don't have to sound so surprised when you say that, Bruce. We have basketball on Mondays. Would you want to play some basketball at church? Yeah, I love basketball. Let's do it. So go start playing basketball Monday. At basketball, a little conversation. Hey, we actually have like a men's Bible study. Have you ever thought about coming? I didn't know that. Hey, come with me. Come sit with me. Go to Bible study. And about 6 months goes by. At my work, I'm a server at Chili's at the time, and at school, in college, people begin to be like, hey, something's different about you. you've changed, but I'm not sure what it is. And I couldn't even really put words to it. Well, I've been going to church and God's doing something in my life. And only now can I look back and say, wait a minute, it was those everyday, hey, would you come with me? Hey, have you ever thought about this? Do we realize how much one conversation can alter the trajectory of our life? And maybe in a Christian sense, even our eternity. Do we recognize it? On a very human level, we do. Maybe if you're married, the first time one of you said, hey, would you like to go out for dinner? Would you like to go out for me? Go out with me? In that conversation, it changed. Will you marry me? Hey, have you ever thought about pursuing this other career? But then also in our spiritual life. It happens in these everyday conversations. What I want you to see today as we go to Luke 24, as we look at these eyewitnesses of Jesus, is this beautiful progression of the Christian life, where Jesus has come to me, learned from me, but then he sends us back out to share his good news with the world. Luke 24, I want to turn to it so you can see this. You won't see it at first, but I hope you do. Luke 24, we'll have it on the screen, and you can read with us as I read. He says this, then the two from Emmaus told their story, how Jesus had appeared to them as they were talking and walking on the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he says. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He said, why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you clearly see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And then he asked them, I love this question. Do you have anything to eat here? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms. They must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for those who repent, and you are witnesses of these things. And now I will send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here into the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven. It's fascinating for me, I think, sometimes when we read the scriptures, we often, it feels so serious, and sometimes we can't picture the events that are happening. Imagine for a moment, if you will, these disciples who have given their lives and left their jobs to follow Jesus. They follow him, and then before their eyes, he is crucified. He dies. He's put into the grave. And now they're wondering, what have I done with my life? Was Jesus who he said he is? I didn't think it was going to end like this. He's dead. They're huddled up in this room. They're fearful of the authorities. They lock the door. They're praying and they're wondering. They're grieving together. What's going to happen? In the midst of a room with palpable anxiety, all of a sudden, reports start to come to him. Wait, that Mary that we talked about, it said she went to the tomb and now she came back and she's saying his body's not there? Well, Peter and John, they ran and they came back and they saw him? Wait, what? Jesus is alive? And then the two that were walking the road, and they said they talked to Jesus when he broke the, it was him, and they have just run back into the room. Guys, he's alive. We saw Jesus. Can you imagine their state of wondering, is it true? I want to hope, but can I? Is he really alive? And in a room with locked doors, all of a sudden, Jesus is standing right there. You can't tell me if you were in the room. That wouldn't freak you out a little bit. I wonder if Jesus himself smiled a little bit, a little peekaboo, like, hello, I'm here, and oh, he's here. What? Is that him? Man, we need to sleep more. There's no way Jesus could be standing here. It's obviously a ghost. Jesus says, look, it's me. See. Touch. I'm not a ghost. Ghosts don't have bodies. Look, I'm here among you. And I love that even as Jesus says that, It says they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder, because it really is him, but they didn't know what to do. Can you picture with me almost Jesus breaking this awkward silence? It's me, but they just stand there. Well, what are we going to do now? Anybody have any fish? Let's eat. And then it says this, I love this little line, as he ate, they watched him. I almost picture Jesus sitting at the table, just maybe licking his fingers, just eating, looking around. They're all just staring at him. He's like, guys, it's me. I want you to see what he says to them. First of all, in verse 37, going back, he says, come and see. Look. He invites them. Look, it's me. Look and touch. As you can clearly see before you, and he showed them. In our Christian journey, I think Jesus is always offering the invitation, come to me. I love the words of Scripture that maybe speak to some of us today where he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. I love that line. Jesus' disposition towards us, come to me. I'm not angry. I'm going to cast you out of your presence. I'm not going to do terrible things because all the bad things you've done in your life. No. It's the picture of God coming to them in a locked space. Come to me. It's the invitation to every single one of us. He says, come and look and see. And then, goes on, and he says, I believe, come to Jesus and then learn from Jesus. He then begins to explain everything that was written about me, he says. From the Scriptures, you remember Moses, you remember Exodus, you remember the books of the Old Testament that were written. The prophets, when you read in the Old Testament, everything that they were saying, and the book of Psalms. You know, the Jewish people had this tradition of when you look at their Scriptures, there is a promised one who is coming, this Messiah, who will come and to deal with the sin of the people. Yet also intricately mixed in there is the promise that he is God himself coming to be with his people. And he begins to show them from all of Scripture, look, it was pointing to me. I am the one that you have hoped for. I am here. He begins to teach them about himself. In the Christian life, come to Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Begin to know more of who he is. But it doesn't just stop there. Oftentimes when we come to church, I want to come to Jesus, I want to learn more about him. And we kind of stop there. But Jesus goes one more into the next scripture, he says, there is forgiveness of sins. This is the message I want the world to know. Listen, there is forgiveness of sins for those who repent. And then he says, you will be my witnesses. You know, it's fascinating. Jesus comes back. Hey, let me show you who I am. Let me tell you what I have done for you. The good news that goes out into the world. There's forgiveness of sins. So Jesus says, now I'm going to start my tour of the Middle East. And if you guys could be like my band that would open for me, now I'm just going to show everyone that I'm alive and I'm going to tell them myself. Is that what he does? No. He looks at them and says, you, disciples, you will be my witnesses. Even in a room like this, how are people going to hear about Jesus? How will people come to know Jesus as you sit in your seats? Oftentimes, how will they know? And you all look at me and point your finger and say, that's your job, Pastor. You tell them. And Jesus turns around and he says, no, you, disciples, you will be my witnesses. You will encounter far more people this week than I will. People that will trust you, maybe more than they trust me, because of their background, because of what they've been through. They're curious to see, is Jesus real to you? You will be my witnesses. And Jesus used this word witness. Witness is to see something. But when you think of witness, maybe for you the courtroom comes to mind. Can you picture the courtroom in your mind? I asked our worship and tech team this morning, when you picture a courtroom, what movie or TV show comes to mind for you, the court-type scenes? Maybe for you it's The Lincoln Lawyer. Maybe for you it's Law and Order or one of its many spinoffs like SVU, I think. You watch too much of that show and you'll start to think everyone in your life is a serial killer, so don't do that. Maybe you think of Suits. For some of you, maybe you think of Legally Blonde. That's your picture. Maybe for more of you, the 1992 film where a fiery, handsome, 30-year-old actor named Tom Cruise steps up to question the witness. Oh, you know, yep, where Jack Nicholson sits. You remember the scene? Tom Cruise says, Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red? He says, I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers? I want the truth. And he says, you can't handle, you can't handle the truth. I'm going to be really honest. I confess this with the team this morning. I'll do it with you too. I've never actually seen that movie, but I knew the line. Oh, I know. I'm terrible. Oh. But I knew the line. You can't handle the truth. And I was like, what movie? Where did that come from? I YouTubed the little clip, and I'm like, that's such a good scene. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize it wasn't just the line. It was the speech that follows. My goodness, you can't handle the truth. In that movie, Jack Nicholson, sitting in the witness stand, he has to, hand on the Bible, swear, tell the truth about what he has seen or heard or, in his case, done or didn't do. When you picture the word witness in the courtroom, a witness simply says what they have seen and heard. And in the court of law, a witness is what they say is referred to as their testimony. For me, not knowing that much about law, but being more in the circles of church, we've used testimony as a churchy word of, let me share with you what God has done in my life. And then I realized it's the same exact thing. God is calling us to bear witness. What have you seen? What have you heard? What has God done in your life? Have you received any joy? Have you received any peace? Any encouragement, Philippians 2 says? Have you seen or heard Jesus move at all in your life? If so, now you are to go and tell. Witnesses not only see something, but then they share something. And can I just say this today? Today, in the modern cultural moment we find ourselves in America, can I tell you this? If you want to argue what is true with someone, in a philosophical, theological category, I believe this is what truth is, you will find a fight really fast. Oh, you think that's true? No, there's no way that can be true. This is whatever. I've found that most people don't really want to talk about these things. In their own relationship, they may say, well, I might believe that there is a God, but I'm not really sure what I think, so I'm searching. Yet, and I could be wrong on this, most people that I talk to that say that, they're not really searching. They're not going and reading theological, philosophical, scriptural evidence of, is this real or not? They're not searching. But in this world where truth is on trial, and I don't really want to hear what you have to say about truth, there is an extreme openness for us as the church to step in because people will listen. Oh, I don't want to talk about what is true, but I'm very interested in what your truth is. What do you find true? Maybe people aren't so much asking the question, what is true, but what works? What works for you? Maybe more of an openness today than there's ever been of, how do you make it through life and find joy? Where do you find peace? How do you deal with this broken world where the news comes in and it's depressing and, man, raising kids is hard? How do you do it? There is maybe more of an openness now than there has ever been. For us to come in and maybe not try to argue theological, philosophical categories, but to say, here's what I have seen to be true in my life. Here's what God has done in and through me. At the end of this scripture, and Jesus says, he says, hey, wait here. In Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will go and share. The book of Luke in chapter 24, we're almost at the end of it, and then the book of Acts begins. They're both written by Luke. He ends with this, wait here, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and Acts chapter 1 begins with the same thing. Now the Holy Spirit comes on me, and he says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then even to the ends of the earth. And the book of Acts is the beautiful story of how this good news spreads. I think it's most clearly said in Acts 22:15. And this is for us too. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. Here is the simple model of the Christian life. Come to Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Be sent by Jesus to be his witness. Now, what's interesting when you see that, many of us will say, well, I like to come to Jesus, and I like to learn from Jesus, but I'm going to be honest. If I'm going to be sent by Jesus to go and share, like, I honestly feel like I need to learn a lot more, right? I don't feel like I'm quite equipped to share because I need to learn more before I do. And there's a part of that that is true. Learning to know Jesus is a beautiful lifelong journey. I have my doctorate and I'm not done. I would go back for more school, but my wife says no and I have young kids, or all these silly reasons that make sense. Learning more is a lifelong journey. Beautiful. But don't let that stop you from being sent. The church is not supposed to be a holy huddle where all we ever do is to learn more and to get a new idea, a new principle, a new thought. I would actually argue that today, because of technology and the internet, we have more access to things that would help us learn to grow and know Jesus more. Yet when you look at the new church and you ask, how did it spread? These people didn't have any of these things. They didn't even have the New Testament. How did it spread? Because they understood that they were a people who were sent. To the degree that they knew, even if it wasn't much, God has saved me. He's brought me from death to life. He's changed my life, and I think he can change your life. This is the message. So we must be sent, even if we feel like we don't know enough. For each of us, I'd ask you to wrestle with the question, when was the last time you talked about your faith with somebody else? Or maybe even just simpler, when was the last time you invited somebody to come to church with you and to sit with you? All right, Pastor, if I'm going to do this, how do I do it? First, I would ask you to consider, how has your relationship with Jesus changed you? Do you notice anything different about your life? Do you see this joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit that God is now putting into your life? You couldn't do it yourself, but now it's starting to bear fruit in your life. Could you share that with other people? For all of us, if you believe in Jesus, we all have the testimony, well, I was once dead in my sin, and now I am alive to Christ Jesus. And if this good news is shared throughout the world by witnesses of Jesus who were sent, I believe it happens through these everyday conversations. I'm going to be really upfront with you today. The response is not, hey, I want you to sit and pray or even stand and sing. The response today has nothing to do with today. The response is this week. I want to challenge you this week to share something about your faith this week with someone else and invite them to come and see. I think that when we become so familiar with our lives, we lose a sense of urgency. When I go to school or work at the same place, I come home, I do the same things every week. When I go to the place where my hobby is, I encounter the same people, I go get my groceries, I do the same thing, I go to sleep, I wake up and do it all over again. And that familiarity makes us lose a sense of urgency. For your coworker who is struggling today, do you realize you have a hope to offer them? Have you ever thought about it that way? To your family member who feels ostracized from the family, who feels afraid and out on the edge and unloved, you recognize that you within yourself carry a good news that God loves them. And so do you. To our neighbor who is lonely, you recognize that you carry the good news that there is a God who will never leave us or forsake us. And God has asked us to share that with them. To your waiter, your barista, the checkout lady who we don't know well, has it ever crossed our mind that they may be spending an eternity apart from Jesus? What if we could ask just one question, one everyday conversation, that could radically alter the rest of their lives? And for me, as I ask you to think about this and to do this week, this isn't, again, some just idea that I have. I look in this room. Some of you are here today, and I won't say any names, but I think of my friend who was far from God, who's not only experienced new life in God, but is now walking a journey of sobriety. I think of my other friend who was living a good and well and successful life. My goodness, it looks like they have it all together, but inside was empty. And somebody asked him, hey, would you come? Not only now have they experienced new life in Jesus, but they're finding joy and peace, not only for them, but for their family and for their kids as well. I think of our teenagers in our youth ministry, one of whom has been so adamant on sharing with everyone in her school, Jesus loves you. Did you know that Jesus loves you? The school administration said, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? You can't share that with people if they don't ask for it. Can you, like, stop? And so now our teenagers in our youth ministry are asking, how can we share with others that Jesus loves them? How could we do that? They're thinking through it. I think of the two baptisms 2 weeks ago. The two baptisms we celebrated in the first service today. Of a father, 55, and a daughter, 28, 29, who said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And their testimonies, my life was once empty. Now I've found the God who loves me. Now my life has meaning and purpose. Baptism is the beautiful way to tell the world, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's them sharing their story. For you this week, in an everyday way, could you ask a question? Maybe in your office, you put up a scripture or a picture that someone will ask you about it. And when they do, you can have a conversation. Here's, I struggle to tell you this because some of you are going to be like, that was the same exact question he asked me before I started coming to church. Here's the best question for me personally, practically speaking. Ask somebody, hey, you got any plans for this weekend? And they will answer, oh yeah, we got the kids thing, you know, travel ball, and got to take this kid there, I got to take this kid there. I'm basically an unpaid Uber driver that I'm just run rampant trying to keep the schedule alive, and I do this, but maybe Sunday it'll be sunny and we can barbecue and it'll be great. You just let them talk. And when they get to the end of it, you know, almost always what they will respond with, what about you? You got any plans this weekend? Oh yeah, on Saturday we're going to do this thing, we're going to have these people over, and Sunday, man, we'll go to church. I just tell you, man, there's something about it. We haven't been going that long, but man, it's changing my life, my family. It's amazing. First of all, they hear that from you, but maybe there's a question. Man, I don't know about you. Do you go to church anywhere? You ever thought about trying to figure out what you believe? Man, if you do, I know a church where you'd come sit with me if you want. Maybe just one question, and maybe their eternity could change because of it. Maybe your question will be a different one. Have you ever thought about how to actually break this cycle you're in? Or how many positive environments do you put yourself in? I know of another one. Are you curious to explore what you believe? God has called us, one more time from Acts 22, for you, church, are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. And let me just encourage you. Your answer to people, listen to me, your answer to people does not have to be profound or perfect and you have all the right words. We think we do. But in Scripture, God tells us, don't worry about what you will say. At just the right time, my Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. God will be with you. And people don't need to hear some profound and perfect testimony. You know what they want to hear? What is genuine and authentic from your life. Just share with them about yourself. And God will use it to do his work. I want to end with this from Romans 10. Think about the people in your life that are far from God. It reads this way, Romans 10, 14. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Well, how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We're called to be God's witnesses. Would you bow your heads and pray with me today? God, we thank you for this new life that you give us. We thank you that you are the God who is revealing yourself through your great love for us by dying on the cross for our sin, to be raised to new life so that we too may experience your new life. God, we say thank you that you invite us to come to Jesus, to see, to experience, to see that he is alive and well today, to learn from Jesus, to see how this grand story of history is all pointing to Jesus and will one day find its conclusion in you too. Then God, help us not to miss that we are to be sent. God, forgive us for the times where we thought church was just all about us. But yet you have called us to go and share the good news of your love, not only for us, but for the world. God, this week for the people in this room and those that are online, would you embolden us? Would you give us courage? Would you go before us and in our calendar set divine appointments? That when we're in that conversation with somebody and we would sense and feel the Holy Spirit speaking, giving us that nudge, hey, maybe you should ask the question. Help us to ask the question. God, here's my prayer. Just as we have baptized people this morning who said, I have decided to follow Jesus, I pray that you would use the conversations that will happen this week, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 5 years from now, whatever it is, conversations this week would begin a journey for somebody where they would come to find you as Savior. They would experience the life that you have created for them to live. They would come to know you. God, help us to be your church who is sent to share your love with the world. We love you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.